Amen. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands. Our Father, we thank you for a time like this. Our hearts and minds are open, receptive to hear your word. We receive your word today with gladness, with meekness, in the name of Jesus Christ. We receive the revelation of God that is found in the written word. Yes, today our eyes is open. We say there's no error in this atmosphere. There's no error in our mind. There's no error as the word is taught. In the name of Jesus, clarity comes to our heart. Yes, clarity comes to our mind. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're looking at the revelation of God. Hallelujah. Okay, this is the second session. Am I right? Is this second or third? Second, okay. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Important. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So uses that word beginning again. We say when we hear the word beginning, our mind goes back to where? The Genesis, right? So John, as we said, John's writing would be will come from the Genesis, right? Right? I would say the opening, how John opens his writing, will form his hermeneutics all through that synoptic. You'll find that he writes from the beginning. Hallelujah. From the beginning, which is the 39 books together. He reads that out and we'll find that there. Hallelujah. So we saw when he says the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is the word logon prosthios, which is the word points to God. Hallelujah. The word points to God. Or you say God was the Word. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and God is the Word. Or the word points to God. Points towards God. So we said that when he says the Word is God, the Word was God, or the Word is God, it shows us that scriptures itself is theology. Right? It tells us that scripture is theology. Theology. God can only be studied in the scriptures. Do you get me? God can only be studied in the scriptures. You can't know God outside the scriptures. Are you following me? You can't know God outside the scriptures. You can't you can't know God outside the scriptures. No, you can't. Hallelujah. Are you following me? You can't know God outside the scriptures. To try to know God outside the scriptures is rebellion. Because the scripture is what he has given to us to know him. Do you get me? To try to know God outside the scriptures is rebellion. You don't believe. Imagine you don't believe what has been written to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And how scriptures are to be read, we say this Christology. Because why? Because that is the summation of what they wrote about. Hallelujah. Remember, I've said this to us that you don't say every verse and every line of what they wrote was Christ. No, no. Hallelujah. But the summation of what they wrote concerning, the summation of everything that they were writing concerning is Christ. So Christ becomes the conclusion of what they are writing. Hallelujah. So that's why in John 5:39, Jesus will say, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But rather, I say, these are they that testify of me. So he's, when he said these are they, he's talking about the 39 book. He said they conclude on me. Did you get that? Hallelujah. So, like we said last week, the last time, we said scripture is theology, and scripture also tells us how to read it. Hallelujah. So it tells us how to read it. And you say it is read as Christology, right? Christ study. So scriptures are to be explained in Christ. Now when we say to be explained in Christ, it will be wrong for you to go, like I said earlier, to start looking for every verse and text and start saying it's Christ. No. Hallelujah. Is to see the conclusion in Christ. Are you following me? And that is what John writes to. He says the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The conclusion. Are you following me? Are you following me? Peter will say, we will call it the light that shines in the dark place, the day be done and the day star rises in our heart. It's referring to the incarnation. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So, scriptures are explained in Christ. John 1:14 down to 18. So, let's look at John 1:14 together into 18. It says, and the word became flesh. That's the word in John 1, right? And the word became flesh. So that word became is the word genomai. It means to change form. Hallelujah, to change form. So it means, and can we put, since the word is God, can we now put to exist? That is the word genomai. So can we now say, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us? Can we now say, and God became flesh and dwelt amongst us? Is that possible? Is that good to say? Not just good, that is what it means. Hallelujah. And the word became flesh. God became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. Did you see that? Whose glory? God. Hallelujah. We beheld his glory. That's how we go, holy begotten of the Father. Mark that word, only begotten of the Father. Say, full of grace and truth. Say, John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. He said, for the law was given through Moses. Did you see that? The law was given through Moses. The old King James says, for the law was given by Moses. That's old King James, right? The law was given through Moses. This is a bit more clearer. It says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. What is this? Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He's not trying to differentiate Moses and no. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what is God telling you? He's telling you what Moses has given to you. Is it, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth. Where will you find grace and truth? In the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Or what we call the 39 books, the Old Testament books. You find it in Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. You find it there. Now, it's like the law was given through Moses, grace and truth. Where will you find it? In the law. In Moses' writing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that is not where we're having emphasis on today. But as time goes on, we get to look at those things. Glory to God. So no one has seen God at any time. He said the only begotten of the Father. The only begotten Son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The only begotten Son. He said, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. That word declare, we saw it last week, is the word ezegumai. It means to explain, to give a first-hand report of what you are involved in. Hallelujah. So it shows us that he said the only begotten of the Father, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, I say he had declared him. It shows us that, see, that incarnation, the incarnation explains God to us. This is God in human form. Men beheld him. John will say we handled him. Do you get that? Hallelujah. It is, he became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Now, I say that explains God. You see, he has declared him. Hallelujah. So, God is explained. The incarnation explained God to us. So, we said Jesus Christ is the revelation of God. We saw that last week, right? And to know God outside Christ is okay. To know God outside Christ, we say is idol worship. Hallelujah. To know God outside Christ is idol worship. Because the revelation of God is found in Christ. Hallelujah. 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 And God cannot be comprehended outside Christ. Christ is the totality of the revelation of God. So what we read last week was from Matthew 15, when Jesus said, I have not come to destroy the law and the prophet, which is the scriptures, but to explain it, right? But to fulfill it, right? To explain it. So, and when he's saying that, he now said, not one dot or iota will pass away till all these things be accomplished. I would say that word away is italicized, right? This is the word pass, right? Did we see that last week? And that word pass will imply what? Come to pass. So he's talking about the revelation, the resurrection. Do you see that? And so when he says, I've not come to destroy but to fulfill it, he's telling that in the resurrection, right, the words of the prophet will be fulfilled. What is he talking about? And we saw it in Luke 24, verse 44. When he resurrected, what did he do? The Bible says, I say these are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. All things must be fulfilled, written in the law of Moses, in the Psalms, and in the prophets concerning me. And he open he the understanding, right? All things must be fulfilled, must be explained. So what did he do within the 40 days? He taught them. Hallelujah. He taught them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He explained the scriptures to them. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, but to explain it, and in the resurrection, he took them on a 40 days journey explaining the scriptures concerning himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, something to look at in that Luke 24:44-45. He says, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Very important. He said he opened their understanding. So, it shows that it is their minds that needs to be opened. It's the mind of, or is the mind that needs to be opened, not the scriptures. Because the scriptures is open. Hallelujah. That's the word dialogue. You get dialogue. So when he uses the word that they might comprehend, that's the word sunemai. Sunemai. Sunemai means, implies to bring fact, event, words together. Fact and events, words in different times and different dispensations together. Are you following me already? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sunemai means to bring fact, event, words that may not appear in the same, shall I put it, in the same time. Maybe in different times, different dispensations, here and there, in portions and bits, to bring them together so you can see the whole picture, you can see it holistically. Hallelujah, it's cinema, to bring facts, events, and things together. So he says, he opening their understanding. So just like the disciples on their way to Emmaus, on their way to Emmaus, Jesus took them back to the law and the prophets. Verses 25 into 27. He says, oh, fool, slow of heart to believe in all the words. I mean, the words of the prophet. He said, oh, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. He said, ought not the Christ to suffer this sin and to enter into his glory. He said, beginning at Moses, the law, right? And all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scripture, the things concerning himself. Remember, we said this will be fact specific, right? Concerning his resurrection, right? Hallelujah. Now, he took them back to the prophet. And he explained the events. Hallelujah. He explained the events. Right? In explaining the events, he explained the words, parables, figure of speech to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. He took them back on a journey. Look at verse 33. Look at verse 33. No, 32. Before we look at verse 32 or from verse 31, look at verse 16. While he spoke to them in verse 16, he said their eyes were restrained that they did not know him. Remember, there's a school of thought that said Jesus was battered and was beaten in such a way that you can't recognize him physically. It's a good school of thought, but that's not what Luke was referring to here. What Luke was talking about is more spiritual than that. Hallelujah. Because later on, they saw him. They recognized him, right? Right? So how you can recognize him the second time? Because he has explained scriptures to them. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 31. Now they didn't recognize it was him all along. That was explaining scriptures to them for hours. It was not 5 minute talk. It was hours. Look at verse 31. It says, and their eyes were opened. Did you see that? Their eyes were opened. Remember, in verses 16, they were restrained that they did not know him. Hallelujah. They couldn't understand him. And verse 23 made us see. Verses 21, that they were hoping that it was he. That was unbelief speaking. So you know it's unbelief. Then, now when he has taught them the scripture, 31 says, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. 32, and they did, and they said to one another, say, didn't our heart burn within us when he talked to us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Did you see that? It had burned within us. So where is Where is, what does unbelief do? Unbelief blinds the eyes of men in seeing the truth of the scriptures. Are you following? And that is why it must be explained. Glory to God. Unbelief. That is unbelief. What Luke was writing about is unbelief. Hallelujah. So just like in verses 45, and just like in verse 45, these guys on their way to Emmaus also, something has happened to them. Their eyes were opened. He opened he their understanding. Verse 45. Are you following me? That they might comprehend the scriptures. So it shows that the issue is not what is written, the issue is the heart of man. So it shows that scriptures, listen, it shows that scriptures is not mysterion. No. No. Mysterion will be found where? In the heart of man. Are you following me? So where will mysterion be found? In the heart of man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, in teaching them this, quickly, look at verses 44 again. We'll get to see this shortly. In teaching them for the 40 days, he will also explain events, actions. He will explain words, events, and actions to them in the four Gospels. Or by him in the four Gospels to them. So he will explain events in the four Gospels, actions in the four Gospels, his words in the four Gospels to them. Why am I calling it four Gospels? That's why I'm going to stop. In the synoptic. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is that the word that spoke to us, with you, that all things will be fulfilled, or must be fulfilled, were written in the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms concerning me. So in doing that, those events they had in the resurrection, those events, those words, his actions in the four Gospels, he will also explain it to them. We'll get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. We'll see that as we progress. But you know, the story of that brother on the tree. You know, nobody would have told that story if not Jesus. Hope you know that. You know, we can call him thief on the tree. He's a brother on the tree. Hallelujah. That was hung with Christ. You know, nobody heard their conversation. But Jesus. Nobody heard. Hallelujah. Nobody heard their conversation. So that means, for them to be able to write it to us, it shows that Jesus told this story to them. And he did it for a reason. Hallelujah. He did it for a reason. And we'll see. Glory to God. He did it for a reason. Jesus and the Samaritan woman. That will be John 5. Is it John 5 or John 4? John 4, right, yeah, John 4. You know, nobody could have been able to tell the story about the issue at the well. Because his disciples were not there, they went to buy food. So just Jesus and the woman. Nobody could have told that story apart from Jesus. Did you see? So that means within that 40 days, he still had to explain events. Did you get? And I tell you the truth, Jesus wouldn't have explained it to them while he was, like the issue of the Samaritan, the woman at Samaria with them while he was with them. He wouldn't have. I'll tell us the reason why I believe he wouldn't have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we progress, you see. But, you know, he would have waited to the resurrection for a reason. And he would say that story to them for a reason. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And many other things too that he will explain as regards his incarnation to them. I follow you. So many of the things he did during his incarnation, the 3 years he was with them, many of them they did not understand while he was yet with them until the resurrection. Many. They didn't understand. Many. Many they didn't understand. We'll see them as we progress today. Hallelujah. So this shows that a lot of skillfulness is required in explaining it as language. Did you see that? A lot of skillfulness is required. Look at verses 27. Verses 27 of Luke 24. It says, And beginning as Moses and the prophet, he expounded. That is the word diamenu. Diamenu. See, for Luke to use the word diamenu, it shows skillfulness was applied in how Jesus explained the scriptures. Skillfulness was applied. Not just give a whole lot of skillfulness. Hallelujah. You see, explaining scripture is not bedtime story. I hear it. It's not bedtime story. Children, Samuel appointed Saul. Say it again. Samuel appointed Saul. David killed Goliath. That is Bible. No! You see, Bible. Bible explanation goes beyond that. Are you following me? It goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. Well beyond that. It goes way beyond that. Hallelujah. It goes way beyond that. It requires a whole lot of skillfulness. We'll see it shortly. Hallelujah. That word diamenu involves or includes to explain the language. It's not just explanation, but you have to explain the language. Language. This is because language over time, from the time of Moses to the time of Jesus, had evolved. It didn't just evolve. A lot has taken place. Listen, between Moses and Jesus' time, a whole lot has happened. Science has changed. Environment has changed. The world has evolved. Do you get it? A whole lot has happened. So that means Jesus is going to do a whole lot of translation. Just between Moses and Nehemiah. This is about, permit me, my calculation might not be 100% correct, but this is about within 1,005 to 2,000 years apart. Not up to 2,000 years, sorry. I mean, that is actually between, that is within, 1,000 to 1,500 years, within that range, between Moses and Nehemiah. Now, watch what happens in Nehemiah chapter 8. Quickly. Nehemiah 8. Let's rush down to Nehemiah 8 quickly. Next time I'll take us to this scripture. I'll give you the exact time. You know, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, look at verses 8. Now, Nehemiah was teaching them. Look at what he did. So, they read distinctly from the book of the law of God. The book of the law of God is where? Moses. Nehemiah. The book of the law of God. And they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reason. The reading. Are you following me? That word to give the sense is the word interpretation. It's the word that implies to interpret. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So, what Ezra... Then Ezra, do you get me, would give interpretation to the words of Moses. Maybe because the words are apart. That word interpretation there also implies to explain language. Do you get it? So language has evolved. So what would they do? He would explain the language. Do you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So diamenio will include to explain language to the people. So just like Jesus, every Bible teacher is confronted with the task of interpreting the language of scriptures to our today world. Every Bible teacher is faced with that task of interpreting scriptures, language of scriptures to our today world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because interpreting of scriptures, you must understand the use of words. Before I will get here, because look at the word apart. From the time of Moses. From the time of Moses. You know, the environment has changed over time, right? Right? Hallelujah. Here we go. Let me ask you something. How many of you know what is called obotus? You don't know. It's a slang we used to use in early 2000. Hallelujah. Today is something you call today Ella. You know Ella? Hey! Ella. That is something. Now imagine I'm now writing to you and maybe you are reading a note from me in 1999. And the guy just said, Ubu, what? Is he writing Ibu, Idoma, or Calabar? He can't answer. Hallelujah. So the same way to language evolve. Today, some people today, if you tell them, I used to be in Young Farmers Club, like, farmer, you don't know, farmer. The other day I called a young guy, I said, what do you want to be? Because I say a farmer. Everybody started laughing. Because you see farmers, you do understand? But there was a time in the world, if you're a farmer, you're a big man. You understand? So you have to understand the world, the age. Pastor Shemu said something today to Ross. He said, in the last 6 years, if you call Zoom, everybody, let's meet on Zoom. You're like, are you trying to Zoom off? Everybody knows what you call Zoom. But today if you say Zoom, what has happened? Everybody says, we're having a meeting on Zoom, right? Right? You see, language is changing, the world is changing. Hallelujah. I posted something online last week. That was antenna. You know that antenna? You'll be off. If you don't know it, I know your age. Hallelujah, you'll be off. You'll watch your ball with the antenna. You know that. Hallelujah. You that don't even know anything, you don't even know where the person is turning into. You know, I was thinking about that thing. You don't know the person, turn it right. Say, turn it right, to the left. You don't even know what that person is. Turn it to the left. Say, small. And my father would be all staring without. You know, he says, you don't clear? No, turn out small. Small. Ah, you don't scatter. Turn out to your left. How do you know it's turning to the left? Do you get? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what it's called? Bat antenna. You know bat antenna? Hallelujah. Do you know what they call booster? Imagine I'm writing and another said, I tried connecting the booster and it did not work. I'm like, what's booster? Because the world has changed. Without the booster, your TV can be clear. Right? Hallelujah. Do you see what? So now, just like you have to now. Imagine I'm talking to Sophia and I'm saying, there's what they call black and white television, like black and white. Or I say, we used to have a CD player, because I hope they're not like CD player, we have MP3 and all those things. They have CD player, or this one I used to, you know? Eh?
Rewinder.
Eh? You rewind. Imagine if you have to explain that to you. You want to tell them that as I was, the first thing my dad flogged me, you know, because I was using the rewinder and I cut the tape. What is the rewinder? So as you don't know the rewinder, you put it like this. You will be turning you. You'll be, yeah. No? To her, you're saying nonsense. Imagine that is in a note that she's reading. Rewinder. Do you get? So how would you help her? She will have to come to your world, understand what it is. She has to sit where you were. She has to be like you to look at your TV. I remember that year, if you sit in front, the TV will go, it will conquer. Come on, mother, come back. You meant to leave to the. You meant to leave the TV and you are going by the TV will be clear. You go back into scatter. Ah! The TV is using electromagnetic. Hallelujah. This is, you have to do a whole lot of explanation, right? That was what Jesus was confronted with. Nehemiah was and the same thing too, we are going to get confronted with it as we explain scriptures. Are you following me? We have to now go back to where Moses' day. We have to go back to Jesus' day. For you to now imagine that Jesus and Moses didn't speak the same language directly. Moses spoke Hebrew. Jesus is speaking is Greek. That was the major language of that day, Greek. Moses' language of his day is what? Hebrew. Do you now see? Funny enough, they are unique. They are borrowed languages, but God used them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Amen. I had a conversation with a friend some months back. I said, you know, Abraham and Moses didn't speak the same language. It's true. But Genesis is the same language. So that means Moses too also did what? Come on. Moses also had interpretation. Did you get me? Hallelujah! A whole lot of interpretation. Glory to God. So, a Bible teacher is an interpreter. Are you following me? A Bible teacher. Once you are teaching the Bible, cell leader, you are an interpreter. Glory to God. What you have as translation of Bible, King James, is your interpretation. Hallelujah. So you are confronted with that task of interpreting Bible too. Amen. Amen. So, in interpretation, you must understand the fact that first, you must know how words are used in their days. How words are used in their days. Words are used in their days. Hallelujah. You know, a time will come when you hear, what is it? There are some words I can't even remember now. But you know, we are in a digital age. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the years to come, some of the things that we are doing today, they will ask me, did you do that? How many of you have seen the picture you took, your first ever Facebook picture, that you were admiring that year? I saw my first ever Facebook picture in 2009. And I saw it now, like, man, what kind of phone is this? For that year, that was the best picture you can ever have. Yeah, world is changing. Hallelujah. You know that? So different world. The world of my father was not a computer age, it was a farming age. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So you have to first of all understand how words were used in those days. One. Two. You must understand the audience. Number one, the use of words in those days, right? The use of words in those days, first of all. Words in those days. So when you look at the use of words in those days, you now have to also look at the social, economic, social, cultural environment of those days. Do you understand? Social, economic, social, cultural environment. It will play a major role in how they will write. Do you get? Then you now look at the audience. The audience. Who are his audience?
We are not yet in identification unifiers. We are waiting to get there, like this. Get there in a long time.
Hallelujah.
But we are drawing close.
Hallelujah. Are you following? Hallelujah. So, the use of words, we have the social, cultural,
social cultural,
social economic. Now you have the audience, then also, you will have, in looking at the audience, you will also look at the, before you get to context, you have to look at the background of that audience. You have to look at the background of that audience. It will inform how the writer would write the background of that audience. After which you now talk about the context. The context. the context of what is being said. So when you hear contextual reading, this is what contextual reading is. Contextual reading is not just about reading everything now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It goes into all this. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that means within the 40 days and on their way to Emmaus, what Jesus did, I'm so sorry, I take back that. This shows, I'm reading my notes now. This shows within the 40 days and on their way to Emmaus, this is what Jesus did. This is what he did. He will have to interpret scriptures. What we will call a reread of the scriptures. They will have to reread it again. And he will explain the scriptures to them. So what that shows us is that sunemai, which is to comprehend, will now involve that they can relate with the events, the words, the actions in the 39 book to what he has accomplished in the resurrection. Did you see that? This is what I just said. So sunemai, now we are expanding the word sunemai in the context of how Luke will use it in Luke 24 to then be, now they can now relate those events, those words, in those world. Did you see that? In that world, in that dispensation, in that time, they can now relate it with what has happened or what is happening right now. Did you get me? That is sunemai. It's not just to bring words together, but they will not have, you will now find the meaning today in my world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That will not be the sunemai. Glory to God. So that said, diligence is required in interpreting scriptures. Diligence. He calls for a whole lot of diligence. So that is why, you see, that's why you should run away from anybody that says, I just studied for 30 minutes and I got a whole lot of vision, a whole lot of rhema that will chill the world. Run away from that kind of person. Hallelujah. You see, interpreting, reading, or studying scripture is not just, I was just taking tea. No, it costs a whole lot of diligence. This is why Paul would tell Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses, But tell Timothy in 2 Timothy, yes, 2:15 into 16. He says, study to show thyself. Be diligent. Hallelujah. To show thyself approved. Hallelujah. As one approved by God. He says, a worker who need not be ashamed. He says, rightly dividing the words of truth. Ototomio. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ototomio. Careful. So, it gives you, Paul shows you two major characteristics of a Bible interpreter, of a Bible teacher. He must be diligent and be careful in presenting Bible truth. He must be diligent and must be careful cutting through scriptures, explaining it. A teacher of the word must never be in a rush. Never be in a rush to say what anything. Don't never be in a rush. Hallelujah. Must never be in a rush. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's track back a bit to what we've said. Let's just think back. Let's track back a bit to look at what we've said. What we've said is that the incarnation, which is the synoptic, the four gospels, right? What we call four gospel synoptic. What we call four gospels. And you know the four gospels is actually the word became flesh, right? John 1:14, that is the four gospels, is the explanation of scripture to us. Did you say that? God is explained to us in the person of Christ, revealed in Christ, right? John 14, from verses 9 to 12. So we can say that the synoptic explains the Old Testament books. Can we say that comfortably well? Huh? The synoptic explains the 39 books. Hallelujah. That is, he explains the reduced, the parables, the events in the 39 books to us. Right? Hallelujah. And yet, those events in the synoptic still needs to be explained. Do you get it? All right, we're getting there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't it to be explained? Is it that they cannot stand on their own? I've not arrived. We've not arrived at that conclusion yet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Can we move ahead? But there is now a disclaimer or an issue. Since we say the four gospels, which are eyewitness account of the event concerning Christ, Christ's earthly work and his resurrection, our explanation of God in the scriptures to us, now there is a disparity. What is the disparity? Since that eyewitness account explain God to us, there is now a disparity. What is the disparity? What is the issue? Jesus wrote no books. So then, how can we know what he explained? How is God explained? Hallelujah. He wrote no books. Rather, the apostles told the stories of the eyewitness account. They told the stories. Then they wrote. Two of the four synoptics were written by the apostles. While other two wrote what they heard from the eyewitness accounts. Hallelujah. That is Luke and Mark. Let's look at Luke 1:2. Luke actually stated it clear when he writes to Theophilus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, the book of Luke was written to one man. Hope you know that. The book of Luke and the book of Acts was written to one man. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Aha. So we can call it Luke series 1 and Luke series 2. It's written to one man. You know, it's series 1 and 2. Yes, so it's series 1 and series 2. Part 1 and part 2. So Luke series 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Interesting, right? Hallelujah. Then as much as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were from the beginning were eyewitness and ministers of the word delivered them to us. Did you see that? Delivered them to us. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, very important. So Luke will show that he was not there physically, but it was delivered to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Very important. Question is, why did they write? Jesus did write. Why did they write? In answering why they wrote, we can answer that by asking, why did Jesus choose the 12? In knowing why Jesus chose the 12, he would know why they wrote. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He would know why they wrote. Because once I have an answer to why he chose the 12, that means the reason why they wrote will be in the reason why he chose the 12. Hallelujah. So we take on that journey of why they wrote. Or why did he choose the 12? Matthew 4:19. Hallelujah. Matthew 4:19. He says, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Hallelujah. He tells Peter and Andrew, his brother, he says, follow me. The same thing he did for the minister. He said, I will make you fishers of men. He saw them catching fishes, and he said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Interesting. Right? Before I skipped something that I just remembered. When we go back to the use of language, you must understand the fact that part of in your interpreting scriptures, you must understand the fact that the writers of scriptures never wrote to you. They had their immediate audience that they wrote to. Hallelujah. And writing to their immediate audience, they had the language. Did you get? Had an immediate audience, so meaning they are not writing to you, but by implication, it's for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But while they were writing, it's inspired by the Holy Ghost. So they were writing to the immediate audience for us. Are you following me? Glory to God. So they had a language, and God's communication to them will be in their language. So God uses man's language. The reason why I need to understand how they use the words. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I needed to clarify that because we'll get to see that shortly. So we needed to see it here. So when he says, I'll make you fishers of men. Now, Jesus tells them, I will make you fishers of men. You see how it changes for them their narrative. He's not telling them, you are not going to drop your occupation as a fisherman. No! You get it? No, he says, I will make you fishers of men. He says, come, I have made you. No, I will make you. Mark Jesus' use of words. When he says the word fishers of men, he says the word Helios anthropos. Helios anthropos. That's the word that means to catch men alive. I will make you catch men alive. I will make you catch men alive. Hallelujah. So in teaching them on how to catch men alive, what will he do? They will find him preach. In verse 23, he says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. And the same went throughout Syria. Hallelujah. And they brought those who were sick and tormented of the devil to him. Hallelujah. You see, in teaching them how to catch men alive, they saw him preach the gospel, heal the sick. They saw him. Do you see that? Then in chapter 10, he now sends them to preach. Hallelujah. He sends them to preach. He sends them to preach and tells them to do the same thing. He said they should heal the sick. Are you following that? Are you following that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, quickly, he was with them for how long? Approximately 3 years, right? Some other scholars say 3.5 years. Oh yeah, if you're a mathematician, you should know that. 3.5 years, 3.5 years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Teaching them, was with them 3.5 years, 3 years teaching them. And at this resurrection, he taught them thoroughly for the space of 40 days. Acts of Apostles chapter 1, verses 3. For 40 days. And after teaching them 40 days, in verse 8, it says, you shall be witnesses of me. Luke 24, verse 45, he says, and that repentance, that is the remission of sins, should be preached in my name. Right? And you are witness of these things. Are you following that? Hallelujah. They saw him teach. He now taught them. They saw him teach. He gave them, he took them on practicals. Right? He now taught them 40 days. Hallelujah. He taught them 40 days. Thorough teaching. And then he sends them out as his witness. Glory to God. And he says to them, I will be with you forever. Matthew 28. Mark 16:20. It says God was walking with them. Did you see that? Hallelujah. And was confirming the word with signs and wonders. Hallelujah. God was walking with them. I want you to follow that closely. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they would be his witness. His witness means there will bear records of him. Hallelujah. There will bear records of him. What record? The record of his resurrection, the record of his incarnation. And in bearing witness, in being witnesses of him, they will tell his story. You see that? They will tell his story. That he is alive. How will they teach? Do you remember? He tells them in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19. He says, make disciples of every nation. He says, make disciples of every nation. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them. What will he teach them? All that I have commanded you. So that means in teaching them or in bearing record, they will teach. Are you following me? What would they teach? What he has commanded them.
Hallelujah. They will bear record that he is the Christ. They will bear record that he rose again. Are you following me? They will bear record that he is alive. They will bear record that he lives in them. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at 2 Peter 4 verses 2. I mean 2 Peter 2. Over 16 to 17. Pray my 2 Peter, not Peter. I'm not gonna. Okay, 2 from verse 17. Okay. No. I'm gonna need a Peter now. I'm gonna need a Peter now. Need a Peter. Okay. Ah. Is this Peter? Huh? I'll be going up, you know. Sorry, I needed to be sure of that. Sorry, chapter 1, verse 16. 2 Peter 1, 16. Therefore, we do not follow cunningly devised fables, who made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of his majesty. Did you see that? Eyewitness of his majesty. For we receive from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came from the excellent glory. He said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And we heard his voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Hallelujah. 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 The incarnation to be a witness. In 1 John 1. 1 John 1. 4 verses 1, I mean verse 3. It says, that which we've seen. Did you see that? That which we've seen and heard and declared to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father. That is, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did I read verse 3 now? Sorry, verse 2. Verse 1. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, which our hands have handled concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, how we've seen and bear witness. Did you see? And declare to you that eternal life. That is what it means to bear witness. Declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father. Hallelujah. And was manifested to us. Are you following that? Hallelujah. You need to see that closely. Look at chapter 4, verse 14. 1 John 4, 14. It says, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. We have seen and testified. Are you following that? Eyewitness record. You find it also in John 1, 14, Luke 1, 1 to 2. Right there, tell you. Hallelujah. So when the apostles, when they say that they bore record or are eyewitness or are seen, they are speaking about the event of the incarnation. Are you following me? Are you following me? They are speaking about the event of the incarnation. Note, they will not tell the story of Jesus till the resurrection. And it was deliberate by Jesus. They will not tell the story of Jesus till the resurrection. It was deliberate. Remember, Jesus charged them not to tell anyone when he has done a miracle or that he was the Christ. He would tell them, tell no one. In Mark chapter 7, verse 36, quickly. Mark 7, 36. Are you following me? Or I'm a bit fast. I don't think I am. Or am I? I don't think I am. I don't think I have that gas for now. Hallelujah. Mark 7, 36. Look at what he said. And he commanded them. This is after he's done healing a guy that is deaf. In verse 34. He said, Ephatha. He says that he be open, and immediately his ears were open. Verse 37, and they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well, and made both the deaf to speak and the mute to speak. Are you following me? But look at what he said in verse 36. Is that he commanded them that no one, that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more they widely proclaimed it. Did you see that? Was this his disciples? No. No. Hallelujah. They wanted to study it more.
Glory to God.
Why will he stop them? It's not a good thing that he has done miracles. It's a lovely thing, right? Miracles everywhere. Right? But no. He stopped his disciples. He stopped them. He would tell them, tell no one, but they would go and broadcast it. Do you get it? But, you know, you can only restrict, you can only, that is why on social media, I laugh at people who go on social media to be doing live broadcasts. They are preaching live broadcasts. Hallelujah. You know, that thing can be deceptive. Imagine you now see 2,000 viewers. I don't think I've ever seen anyone I don't see 2,000. Yeah, I don't think I have for now. But let's say you have 2,000 viewers. I bet you, I tell you the truth. So that's 2,000 viewers. 99.999% just brushed in and brushed out. Most of them are not your members. Do you understand? You don't have direct pastoral obligations over everybody you see on Facebook or social media. Hallelujah. So you can only, what I'm going to is, you can only have control on those that are your disciples. Do you understand? That are your followers, that are your members. Do you get? So Jesus warned them that they should tell no one. Do you get? But Jesus, and they went ahead and they spread it wide. Did you get? Hallelujah. But not his disciples, the multitudes. Hallelujah. Very important you see that. Because what they've gone to tell, is it the story of Jesus healed the sick? Yes. This guy is powerful, yes. But have they done right? They've done wrong. The story can be genuine, can be good, can be sweet, it's right. But they've not told it rightly. There's a way Jesus wanted the story to be told. You don't tell the story anyhow. Are you following me? Don't tell the story anyhow. Glory to God. Are you following me? There's a way it has to be told. What is the effect? He did miracle. Oh boy, can't see you. Ah, see. Hey, you need to see what happened today. See that guy they call Jesus. Let me borrow some stupid people's language. You know Bros J. You know behind your Bros J. You know Bros J. That today, just spoke to somebody, he just spoke one word. Bah! And ear open.
Yeah.
Man! You needed to see. I'm serious. In fact, there was a guy, he just did his eyes like this. And I just, man, that guy get magical. You know, they were not calling me, man, that guy get power. We can't see power. Ah! You know, Simeon the sorcerer, in the lane walk. You know those kind of talk? Jesus everywhere. The Jesus was going everywhere. Hallelujah. But you know, Jesus warned them, tell no one. You see that. In Matthew 16, when Peter said he is, I'm coming. Before we get to Matthew 16, so I don't jump in. Chapter 8 of Mark, so that we'll follow it. Verse 30. 8 verse 30. It says, okay, verse 29. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Just the Matthew 16. He said, and Jesus answered, Peter answered to him, you are the Christ. And he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. Did you see that? He warned them. Tell no one about him. Hallelujah. Also, Matthew 16, 30. He told them, tell no one about it. Why? This is because, as I've said earlier, that is how his story should be told. And this is why at the resurrection, he will teach them the things concerning himself from that event. That event of his death to the resurrection. He will teach them the things concerning himself. Luke 24:44-45. It will teach them concerning that event. So therefore, the word sunemai again will imply to bring the event together so as to see it together. Did you see that? To bring it together so that they can see it together. Hallelujah. To see it together. Therefore, Jesus wanted his story to be told by his apostles, and they will do it from the resurrection, because the resurrection becomes how Jesus' story should be told. The resurrection is that explanation. You know, we'll get to start talking about healing. Healing. So, sit and look for a title for it. Healing. I'm thinking just call it healing and our faith. Something like that. Or our faith and or faith and healing. Anyway. I think you may want a title for it, a good title for it. But you know, when you talk about healing, you begin to see that Jesus is healing. Healing miracles or healing meetings of Jesus, all of them, all pointed to the resurrection. All of it. The same way to all the parables he told. If Jesus is the Christ, listen, I know I'm using it that way. If Jesus is the Christ, everything he said will find its conclusion in that event of the resurrection. Did you see that? Will be an explanation of that reality. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So let's just move ahead. I thought by now we should be rounding up this section. But hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the resurrection becomes how Jesus' story should be told or will be told. And because how it will be told. That is, the revelation is an explanation. The resurrection is an explanation. At the resurrection, they will find some of these events, in fact, all these events in the four gospels will find the explanation in the resurrection. He will give, he will explain them. You know, they needed to know what the miracles were for. If not, they will not be having miracles anyhow. I don't know if you understand. But it was deliberate. All Jesus' miracles were deliberate. Deliberate. So that is why when you read Acts of Apostles chapter 3, the miracle at the gates called Beautiful, you watch what happened after what was deliberate. Watch the explanation. From that miracle, what did they do? They explained the scripture. They explained it in the scriptures. Are you following me? It showed that they thought well what miracles are for. If not, after that miracle, what we'll not be hearing was will not be different from what they did in Luke chapter 17. You know what they did in Luke 17? He said, they were rejoicing that even the demons were subject to us in your name. That's what we have been seeing, not true. Hallelujah. For they knew at the resurrection that what the miracles are for a reason. Are you following me? Are for a reason. Glory to God. Glory to God. And we're going to look at that reason soon. Amen. So in John 2, 4 verse 21, look at John 2. John 2, verse 21. And in John 2, look at 21. I'm talking about verse 19. And just as I said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. They didn't know this until the resurrection. Are you following me? They didn't know this until the resurrection. Even when Jesus was saying it, even they would have been astonished. You know, they would have just had a gist. James. you know, Master is looking for trouble. How can you say that? Did you say? How can you say that to the Jews? Because they didn't understand. Are you following me? They didn't understand. Glory to God. How can you say that? He said, you destroy the temple and the trees are built up. He said, you build this temple. You know, their head will be ringing, will not, because they should hear right. Hallelujah. They should hear right. That Jesus said, they will destroy and in 3 days you build. So in their head will be 3 days. James, what did that, how many years did that tell us that they built this temple? 40 something years and in 3 days. Ah, James, oh boy, you will do from one walk. Peter, that means you start carrying concrete. You'll be mixing sand. Only 12 of us. 3 days. Ah. Master wants to kill us. Did you get it? Because they didn't get it. They didn't get it. The resurrection, look at verse 22. Therefore, when he had arisen from the dead, his disciples remember that he said to them, and they believed the scriptures and the word he had said. Did you see that? Oh, it was at the resurrection that they knew he was talking about this body. Look at how John put it, as if he knows when he was saying it. You know, if you just read from verse 19 to 20 to 21 and start to say, hey, they knew now, but they didn't know. It was in the resurrection that they, his disciples remembered. They remember. Oh, look at that word. Remembered shortly. Hallelujah. Zakar. They remembered that he has said to them, hallelujah, that I will raise it up in 3 days. Oh, I didn't believe the scriptures. What was this effect? Where was this effect from? Luke 24:45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Now they now saw that that temple he was talking about was the temple of his body. And you know, when Jesus was to be relating, when Jesus would be explaining it in Luke 24 within the 40 days, remember, he would not just talk about the temple, that event, he would have read it from where? Moses. Did you see? That read the temple in Moses, the tabernacle. But started from the tabernacle. Now read it into Solomon, how he built the temple. Did you see that? Now draws it to himself. Do you remember, you know, do you remember when I was in the temple and I said I waited up in 3 days? Can you see? Can you see the temple? Hallelujah. And their eyes were opened. Wow. Do you see that? That is the explanation. Did you see the journey? Hallelujah. He took them through that journey. And after which, when Paul was to write about the temple, he said, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So when Paul said we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, he brings in Moses' tabernacle, Solomon's temple, what Jesus said, all true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What Isaiah said concerning the temple. See, God does not dwell in what? Temples with buildings made with my hands, with made with hands. Did you see that? So their eyes were open. Oh, did you see? An event. Listen, I want you to see this. It's like a conversation you have at different times, but it's as if the prophets were speaking. I mean, the writers of scripture were speaking to themselves, but they were not directly seeing themselves. But you could see that mode of communication. Moses the temple, Solomon built what? I mean, Moses the tabernacle. The difference between the tabernacle and the temple, you should know by now. Hallelujah. Tabernacle is a moving temple. A temple is a station tabernacle. Hallelujah. Amen. So now, Moses the tabernacle, because they've not entered the land. Solomon the temple, but when Solomon built the temple, Solomon spoke. Hallelujah. He spoke to show that that temple was not the real thing. Hallelujah. That should be 1 Kings. Now, but that is not what now. When he spoke, who picked it up? Isaiah picked it up. Hallelujah. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. There is that conversation. When Moses was building, giving them a tabernacle, he said, God said he wants to dwell amongst you. Did you see that? God said he wants to dwell amongst you. That word among in the Hebrew means also dwell in you. Did you see that? Moses, then Isaiah picked up that conversation from where Moses stopped and where Solomon stopped, and he said, God doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands. Did you see that? He said, where is that house that thou art built for me? That thou buildest for me? He said, my hand not made everything. Did you see that? Did you see that conversation? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus now said, destroy this temple. He was pointing at the temple literally. He said, you destroy this temple. Now, when he was pointing at the temple literally, your mind should not go to that temple. You have seen that when he's talking about temple, right? Okay, literally, at that point, their mind went to the temple, right? And that was why they were like, this temple that took us 6 years to build? How old are you? Are you up to 40? Do you get? You build it in 3 days. But in the resurrection, their mind now moves away from the temple and moves this way. Destroy this temple. Did you see that? You destroy this temple and I'll build it in 3 days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So where would you get that from? Isaiah. This is not the physical temple. Are you following that? So you must always see that conversation. Conversation not true. Hallelujah. I guess in our subsequent teaching would explain it further. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll explain it further. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that means I'm telling you, when we get to understanding the gospel, you see it much more. Amen. Especially on these things. Hallelujah. In Matthew 16, verse 12, another point again. In Matthew 16, 12. Before you get to verse 12, look at verse 6. He says, and he said to them, take heed and beware of the leading of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Look at what they had in their minds. Verse 7. And they reason among themselves, is it because you have no bread? Interesting. They think Jesus loves bread. Hallelujah. Did you see? Is it beware of the leading of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? And they say, wow. Why is he telling us to beware of the leading of the Pharisees? Is it because we have no bread? You know, when their mind went to it, is he saying we should not eat agege bread? Is he saying we should not eat whatever bread? Did you get? That's what their mind went to. Physical food. No. Hallelujah. When Jesus was there, he said, oh, man of little faith, why are you reasoning amongst yourselves? Because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the five loaves of bread and of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took off? Nor the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you don't understand that I did not speak concerning bread, but beware of the living? Do you see that? Well, usually the word living there is the word yeast. But we were of the yeast, the living of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I said, then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the living of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees.
You see that? Hallelujah. Their eyes was not open. You know that it is actually the doctrine. Several things like that. He will say to them, hallelujah. And they wouldn't even understand. Don't even get it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, when he got to chapter 15 of John, they now reply, I guess 15 or 16. Now they are chapter 16. Say, he spoke, he speaketh not to us in parables. Did you not understand any of what he was saying to them? Habit, if the comforter shall come, you get into it. They can't understand until that resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, at the resurrection, a lot is said to them, and what they witnessed became clear and understood. Therefore, there were a lot of things he said to them,
and did in the four gospels that they did not understand till the resurrection. They did not. So the resurrection becomes that explanation on how the story of Jesus will be told. If not, you will not be telling a story. You will not be telling a story. You will be telling a fable. A fable. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If not, you will be telling a fable. So Jesus chose 12. So we said Jesus chose the 12 to be his witness, to tell his story. Also, to disciple men by teaching them, right? Right? To disciple men by teaching them. The same thing he taught them will be the same thing that they will teach. Our Lord also, that's what we saw. Matthew 18:20. They teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So this will be the same thing they've come to understand from the resurrection. Luke 24:49. Right? Right? As we close this section, let's just take this. So, since Christ's teaching, as we have said earlier, is explaining scriptures, and the disciples are to raise disciples. The disciples, who are his apostles, right, are to raise disciples via teaching them. This implies that they will teach them the same way and the same things that Christ taught them. And in doing so, they will explain scriptures the same way Jesus explained it to. Hallelujah. They will explain Moses and the prophets the same way Jesus did explain to them. It will be the same. When you get to Acts, how Peter explained their events, and wait with Luke 24, you will know that he was just coming from a lecture hall. Hallelujah. He quoted it verbatim. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said it verbatim. The same way Jesus taught them. The same way Luke recorded it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, they will explain Moses and the prophets and the events in the Old Testament books the same way Jesus will do to them. Hallelujah. So in the next section, we'll begin to explore some of those things. Amen. Amen. I better tell us we are still in the introduction. We've not started looking at things. Hallelujah. So we'll see in the next 15 minutes.